Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our consideration this evening is taken from the second chapter of St. Luke, the gospel text which has already been read. I think I was in about the third grade the first time that I found myself in the doctor's office being dug on by him with a pointy thing. We were lining up. We did a lot of lining up in the third grade, if you recall. And maybe I wasn't moving fast enough. Maybe I said something, I don't know. And the kid behind me, his mother's from Donahue, she may at one time have been a member here, I don't know. He stabbed me with a pencil, right in the shoulder. Stabbed me with a pencil. It was a sharp pencil. And the end broke off. And the trip to Dr. Clark's office again and go fetch the big nurse, the one that corners the boy whenever he needs a shout and holds him. And so she held me, and he dug with a pointy thing, and I hope I don't ever have to do that again. The last time I found myself in the doctor's office being dug on by him with a pointy thing was last spring. I think a lot of people, when they hear about the angels, like we heard tonight, the angels appearing to the shepherds and talking to the shepherds and telling the shepherds things that are going on, I think that a lot of people, when they hear about that, when they hear that, they think, hey, why don't angels appear to me? Why don't angels talk to me? Why don't they tell me things about Jesus? I think that because that's what I annually pondered around the end of December when I heard what you just heard from the Gospel of Luke. And shepherds were not the only people with whom angels made contact and told them things about things that are going on. Just once, can't an angel come and talk to me? A miracle! How about that? Just once. I'd like to see a miracle. Then I would know for sure. You know, the Christian religion does not stand or fall on whether or not the date of the birth of Jesus was actually December 25. Jesus was born before the inventions of birth certificates, and in his world, the date, or in some cases even the year of his birth, of anybody's birth, was not considered particularly noteworthy. If you became important, then the date of your death would be noted, but you never knew until later in life if somebody was going to become important, and by then, the date and often the year of that person's birth was long forgotten. And as is the case today, most people do not become important. Most people do not become important. Turns out that Jesus was an important person. In fact, he was, hands down, the most important person who ever lived. For as long as these things have been talked about, Jesus Christ has been recognized as the most influential person who ever walked the earth. And the recognition of Jesus as the most influential person ever, followed in short order by people like St. Paul and Martin Luther, the German guy, it's not a Christian thing. It's a scholarly thing. Scholars begin by running the numbers. There are more Christians in the world than are members of any other religion. Scholars like Pew and Wikipedia place the number of Christians worldwide at 2.2 billion. And while our religion seems to be declining in the West, God is making Christians out of whole swathes of souls in places like Asia and Africa. And don't get me wrong, God still produces Christians, many Christians, all the time in Europe and in America. And as a matter of fact, we baptize people here all the time, right here. And to be sure, not all of those who call themselves Christians are Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Some may not even be actual believers. But to call oneself a Christian in these latter days, and to identify oneself as a Christian these days, is not nothing, and it is something. I think a lot of the scholarly people, when they look around and see how the Christian religion has been negatively portrayed in the West for the last 50 or 100 years, I think those scholars have taken it upon themselves to set the record straight. I know that I look around and see that, and that's what I want to do, set the record straight, all this negative portrayal of the Christians and the Christian church. So I talk about, and I quote from people like our own Dr. Alvin Schmidt, author of Under the Influence, and I talk about and quote from Thomas Woods, a good Catholic, and I even talk about and quote from Neil Ferguson, a Scotsman who doesn't seem to be very religious, but who says that the Christian religion is not out there on the periphery, but at the very center of all the good there is in Western culture. And he's baffled, Neil Ferguson, he's baffled that we are so easily and readily abandoning that religion in droves. And I'm baffled because I don't think Neil Ferguson even goes to church. So the last time I found myself in the doctor's office being dug on with him with a pointy thing was last spring. I think I was doing some woodwork out on the wood pile. Took a splinter in the right foot sometime during the weekend. Don't know when, don't know how you get a splinter in your right foot. By Monday, I knew it. And I did what you do when you get a splinter in your foot or any place else, and it just kept getting worse. Just kept getting worse. And then my lead medical team member came home and pointed out that other team member, the doctor, is there till noon on Friday. You better go in and see him. So while old Doc McCall dug on Friday morning, we conversed. Actually, it was kind of the same conversation over and over again. Does that hurt? No, I'm good. Does that hurt? No, I'm good. I could tell by his body language that he was in a lot of pain. It hurt him to dig like that in my foot, and I liked that in the doctor. And after a couple hours, the clock said it was a couple minutes, but I know it was a couple hours, my right foot gave birth to a healthy oak splinter, and I was good to go. Sometimes people will call me up or stop by here at church, talk to one of you. They want to look at our books. Our books that are down in the safe down there. And every baptism, every confirmation, every birth, every marriage, every funeral that has ever happened here or at Buena Vista is recorded in those books down there in the safe. They didn't have those books in the time of Jesus. And as I mentioned, the birth certificate had not yet been invented. And for the first Christians, Easter was the big deal. And the birth of Jesus was always understood to be, a big deal, but it wasn't a major festival like Easter always has been. False doctrine means wrong teaching. False doctrine has always been a problem. It's all over the place in the Old Testament. The first controversy in the New Testament church was over circumcision. Do you have to do that or not? Settled by the first church council in Jerusalem in 49 AD. In 313, as you well know, Constantine proclaimed religious freedom in the empire. And shortly after that, the Christians had a pretty major disagreement about the person of Christ. Just exactly who was this Jesus the Christ? So they met at a place called Nicaea. They hashed it out. And out of that hashing came the Nicene, the Apostles, and the Athanasian Creeds. And at that point, the Christians decided that maybe they should be paying more attention to celebrating the birth of Jesus. And another one of those lies, there are a lot of them, but we've been told, is that Jesus could not have and was not born on December 25, and that the Christians chose that date to co-opt the pagan solstice celebration, which is on December 22, generally celebrated, if you're going to do it for longer than that, December 17 through 22. So why did they pick the 25th? Anyway, the Christian religion does not stand or fall on the date of December 25, but that's the only date the Christians have ever used for Christmas. And we got it from the Annunciation. March 25, do the math, December 25. And over the years, after that kind of small start, Christmas has become something of a big deal, hasn't it? And we all know that a lot of things aren't like they used to be, and one of the things that seems like it isn't what it used to be is Christmas. That's the way things are. I found a roll of Noel wrapping paper last week. We had SpongeBob and Minions under the tree, not much Noel. My Jesus, Christmas wrapping paper is kind of depleted. I tried Hobby Lobby and the internet, and they both looked at me like I was from another planet when I asked for Jesus Christmas wrapping paper. And I could go on, and so could any of you, but we're not here tonight to talk about how other people have lost the true meaning of Christmas. In fact, your being here tonight could probably be seen as a pretty good indicator that you remember the true meaning of Christmas. And we're here tonight to celebrate the birth of our Savior from sin, death, Satan. And that's a pretty big deal. So when he was all done, I says to old Doc McCaw that it was probably a good thing that I came in, had him dig on me. He said, yeah, it was a good thing. I asked him what would have happened if he hadn't dug out that splinter. And he works with wood like I do. And he said that the oak splinter would have kept going in and not come out. He said I could have lost my right foot. I'm rather fond of my right foot. I use it all the time. So it was a good thing that he was able to remove that oak splinter from my foot, which otherwise would have continued to journey into it. And you know, doing what I do when I get a splinter was never going to do anything to remove that splinter. And if anything, it probably made it worse. And sin is like that splinter. It gets into us. Actually, we're born with us, with it, and it works its way in, and it wreaks havoc, sin does. And sin is fatal not just to the right foot, but actually to the whole person, that's sin. And the natural man does what the natural man does when he realizes that he's a sinner and that God is angry with him. He tries to appease God with religions that require you to be good enough. And somehow the natural man knows himself to never be quite good enough. And he invents false religions that make him feel good about himself. Religions that do more harm than good. We can no more save ourselves than I could have removed that splinter. And along comes Jesus. And I don't think I've ever heard anybody compare sin to an oak splinter, but I'm certainly not the first person to compare Jesus to a doctor. In fact, Jesus compares himself to a doctor. And he says that sick people, people with spiritual splinters, are in need of a doctor, and he is the doctor. That means he deals with the sin problem for us, like a good doctor deals with our medical issues. And he does that by taking upon himself human flesh in that little baby's body, dwelling with us, later on suffering for our sins, and rising again on the third day. ascending gloriously into heaven, from whence he will come to judge the quick and the dead. That miracle, looking for a miracle, that word miracle appears in the text that we read from Luke chapter 2. This will be a sign for you, a miracle. You'll find a baby wrapped in rags, lying in a manger. There's your miracle. Didn't look much like a miracle. Miracles are often like that. Sometimes miracles are big deals and you can see them and people will wow at them. Other times, not so much. Not so much. You know those books down there in the safe down there? A lot of names in those books. A lot of people who have been baptized right here. And at baptism, you're made a child of God. Your sins are forgiven. You receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You receive that new life. That's kind of a big deal, isn't it? And then you have somebody up here talking to you from this pulpit, proclaiming God's word, a sinful man just like you, nobody special, but proclaiming God's word to you, and it affects you. It affects your life in a good way. And you want to know another great miracle? Jesus Christ says the word, and he is truly present with us here in Grand Mountain this evening. He's been all around the world this Christmas Eve, starting at the international timeline, moving west, and he's going to move west after here. The real presence of Jesus Christ here with us this evening. That's a big deal. So is Christmas. Big deal. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. This time